Welcome to our podcast. This is Victor Fonov, and I'm the lead pastor here at Whitefields Church. Our focus is to help you grow relationally and spiritually. Enjoy the message.
Thanks, Brother Vic. I just want to say thank you to this house for allowing me the privilege and the honor to speak. I do consider this place my church home, my family. Even though I don't live in Alaska, I have deep roots with these people. Mark and Nancy, obviously, from a long time ago. But Vic and Larissa, God's just done a real work in my heart with Vic and Larissa, and I want to honor both of them for their leadership and then just that God would continue to give them the energy that they have. If I could bottle their energy and sell it, I'd be Elon Musk. I can't believe the energy these guys have. But I know it's the Lord working all his will in them, but thank you. I receive those words. So before we get started, I'm not going to say any much about myself other than just what Robert was saying. We've all been delivered, period. We've been delivered. And only because of the Father's love for us and the willingness and the obedience of Christ Jesus, wanting to bless his Father with the Father's heart. And he brought that to the Father. And that's why we can praise the Lord. And that's why we're here today, because we come in the name of Christ Jesus, his broken body, his shed blood. And it's through him that we will stand in the presence of God, not of works, so that no man should boast. It's by grace through faith that we've been saved. Amen. Amen. I had a little bit of a tumultuous childhood. I won't go into details, like I said, but I just want you to know that everything Robert had said earlier, you know, from being in a remote viewing program, being satanic ritually abused, coming from a deep, dark bloodline, being a disciple of Aleister Crowley, being a family that followed him, and those type things, I will tell you that the power of God is real. And when I would go through things, Jesus, when I would dissociate, Jesus would be there and telling me to love my grandfather and love my dad and love my mom, because it wasn't them that was doing it. It was what was operating in them. So I began to see that God overlooks things because he's greater and more powerful. And not to diminish evil, but just to say the Lord just flicks it away. He will destroy the work of the enemy, all the mystery of iniquity, with the breath of his mouth. So I think we just need to like lower the perspective of evil. All the things that are going on the earth now, whether you believe in flat earth or round earth or in the Sarah, Jacera, quantum financial system or whatever. The Lord's in control. So let's just take a deep breath. So turn off the news, because it's lies anyhow, and pick up the Word of God and get to know him and pour out your heart to him. Because like Robert and I were talking yesterday, the Lord told many, I never knew you. And we know God knows everyone that's his, but he wants us to open our hearts and reveal ourselves to him, like any relationship. If I get to know Vic and if I never say anything to him, he doesn't know me. So we need to lay our life out before the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to pray and we're going to get into it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And while you're doing that, let's pray. Father, we just give you praise and glory and honor. We thank you for Christ Jesus, the King of Zion, the great I am. And Lord, I ask today that as you spoke through your son Jesus, that you would speak through me, Father, to will and to act according to your good pleasure for your people. That God, we would be evangelized deep within our hearts today where the kingdom of God dwells, and that your kingdom would expand greatly within us, that we may understand all the treasures and the knowledge of wisdom that are found in Christ Jesus. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings to search it out. So, Lord, I pray that we would have a new understanding of your grace and your mercy and your love. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, the issues of life are your thoughts, your actions, the choices that flow from your heart. When you go through the difficulties of life and you start getting hurt, there's a disconnection between your mind and your mouth and then your heart. So your heart kind of gets cut off, so you start living out of your mind and out of your mouth. That's why people can say hurtful things and not think about it, because they're not saying it from the heart. It's not connected to the heart. And when you go through lots of trauma, the whole purpose is to cut you off from your heart and harden your heart, so you could be an assassin, you could be a sex worker, you can be whatever and have no condemnation, no guilt. You're just doing things based on a trigger word or a color or a phrase or whatever. That's why in the Navy SEALs, they have the Delta Force and the Army. It's because they're programmed at the Delta brainwave state. You have Gamma, Theta, Beta, Delta brainwave state. So the enemy knows if he can program you, that's why they call it programming, TV programming. From birth, we're programmed to see the world a certain way, to live a certain way. How many watch cartoons as kids? When I was a kid, I'd get up early on Saturday from 8 o'clock until noon, and I would watch everything I could watch, and it would tell me what cereal I should be buying and what I should get for Christmas, because as soon as I see that commercial, guess what I want? What's on that commercial? Because I'm being programmed to buy certain things, to think a certain way, to act a certain way. Just the way the world is. What if the world is flat? We've all been taught that it's round. I mean, I'm not getting into that. I'm just saying, just think about things. How many other things that we've been told that were not true? I believe it's the prophet Isaiah says, we have inherited lies. And we were born into Babylon. We are Israelites living in Egypt. And instead of Moses coming to deliver us, Christ Jesus is coming this time to deliver us. Amen. So just a thought. Proverbs 4, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Just a thought. Did Adam keep the garden? Or did he let the snake in? He was told to keep the garden. Keep it. Dress it. But somehow, and it's all speculation, so I won't get into it, but somehow the enemy came in. And Eve was not blown away. She was talking to it. So obviously she had met him or knew of him enough to dialogue with him. It's just a thing. When Cain sinned, and God began to speak to Cain, he says, what's wrong? If you would have just done good, but sin was crouching at the door of what? Our heart. Waiting for an opportunity to come in. Waiting. Now, as believers, when we come to Christ by faith, we're given a new nature, as we're going to talk about today. A new way of thinking, a new way of operating, a new way to live, which is life. But we're so programmed, we're so used to living in lies and manipulation and deceit and whatever else, fill in the blank, that we have to learn to turn from those things and begin to grow in our new nature. It's a process. It takes time. It's not a sprint. It's a long journey. Just like the Israelites, they didn't get delivered out of Egypt, and the day they crossed the Red Sea, just obeyed perfectly and there was no problems. God took them to 42 places, which every one of those places represent a place in your heart. And he had to deliver them in each of those places from wrong mindsets, unbelief, and so on and so forth. So we're in a process. So it's okay if you're circling the same mountain a time or two. Because one of these days, God's going to say, enough. We're moving on from this mountain. Because it's him at work in me. It's what he started that he will bring to completion. It's not me, my willpower. It's not me just fasting enough. It's his grace that changes us. And sometimes I say, am I really changing? Take one step forward. Some days I feel like I take two steps back. It's kind of how it works. So, like Adam was commanded to keep the garden, to dress it and to keep it, to tend it and to cultivate it, we are to dress and keep our heart above all else. Above all else. It's one thing to try to understand quantum physics and frequencies and all the things that I like and used as a kid. Conjuring spirits and things of that nature back when I was a kid. The 72 lesser keys of Solomon. I will tell you all that's real. But I will tell you in Christ, he said, seek ye first the kingdom. And where's the kingdom? It's within our heart. So he says, above all else, keep, guard, cultivate your heart. Amen, Kat. We need to know what's in our heart. To sit in solitude and to just open the doors of our heart and say, Lord, I know what's in here, but I just want to open it up before you and confess it to you. And I'm asking you to change my heart. Take that and do away with it. Change me, Lord. I confess it. Sometimes I would go out in the woods and I'd find a couple of stones and I would have a Marxalot or a permanent pen and I would write whatever that thing was that I knew was in me. Because it's like a brick in the wall of my heart. Walls that the enemy built through lies and deceit and deception. And I would just give that to him. And I'd say, I'm giving this to you today. And it's up to you to help me with this. I'm confessing it. Not hidden. So Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God within and his righteousness. His righteousness. If you could turn to Luke 17. Starting in verse 20. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed externally. They were expecting God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to tear the Romans apart, set himself up on the throne, and it's done. The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. It's within you. The kingdom of God is within you. It's within me. And he said to his disciples, the days are coming when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look there or look here. Do not go out or follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. Hey, don't be looking around. It's going to be so magnificent, you won't miss it. We should be looking internally. Not to ourselves, but to what's in me. Asking the Lord to grow within me. Paul said, I pray that Christ would be formed in you. So the question I used to ask at the Citadel is, how old is the Lord in you? Does he have a voice yet? Is he walking in obedience yet? Now, when I say he, obviously he is, but he is being formed in us. He's growing within us as we yield to his work. As we yield to him, he expands in our heart. He takes over certain areas that were once so great and high walls that I never thought I could overcome it. And as I yield to him, he pushes it down. And we begin to walk in a greater measure of freedom. I remember when I was, like Robert said, 17, 18, because I had been molested by my aunts and uncles and you name it. Sexuality was just like drinking coffee and breathing air. You just did it. And when I began to read the scriptures and realize, well, the body's not made for sexual immorality. And I would be like, oh my goodness. That's not even something that we should be doing unless we're married. And I thought to myself, there is no way that I'm ever going to come out of this stuff. And as I said, Lord, I'm going to obey your word. I'm going to agree with you. The first step was just agreeing with it. I might not have felt it. I might not have even wanted to come out of some of it. But as I began to confess it, the Lord would take my hand and he'd say, let's go. Come on now. Come on. The Lord knows, so what am I hiding? Once again, Proverbs 4, brothers and sisters, wheat and tares. Keep your heart. Find out what's in your heart. Sit in silence with a pen and a piece of paper and say, Lord, show me my heart. And get ready. And it's not all bad because he can help us overcome all the things that are within us. There is hope. We are called overcomers because as he dwells in us and we partner with him and yield to him, we become overcomers. Amen. Not of ourselves. Not because I just want it so bad. It's because I'm asking the Father, bring me to that which you created me for before the fall. Because we were born in him before the foundation of the earth. We've already been saved, sanctified, justified, and glorified. We already have positionally, even though we're walking toward that truth today, in Christ, we're already seated. We're already there. Nobody's going to take our position, our purpose. Paul said, hey, physical exercise profiteth little. And I say, praise the Lord, because I don't like working out a lot. But spiritual exercise profiteth much, not only for this life, but for the one to come. Because that's real life. So we're just getting started. And it's glorious. And to Robert's point, the last year or so, as I'm worshiping quietly in my own little place, I begin to see a stadium. And I hate even to use the word stadium because it minimizes it a bit. But it's like this biggest gathering I have ever seen. And every tribe and tongue is worshiping and calling out on God. And it's just spectacular. And it's like for a minute you catch it. It becomes alive in you. And that begins to grow. So as I'm seeing the financial system crash, and I'm seeing nation rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, I begin to allow the kingdom, the reality of the true kingdom, to be my focus, setting my things that are on above, not on things that are below. Now, I want to be aware of what's going on below, but I'm already seated looking at it. For those who have a kingdom mindset. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15 says, I will give you pastors and shepherds according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now, I just want to say this. That was Jeremiah. The Lord said, listen to his prophets. But then Jesus says that as this anointing that I'm giving you, son and daughter, as it teaches you, you have no need of a pastor and a teacher. Now, before somebody says, I don't believe in teachers and pastors, obviously I do. But we don't have to go to the Vatican. We don't have to go to Whitefields to sit in the presence of God and gain understanding. We can sit by ourselves with him and gain revelation and understanding, because it's in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and understanding. The first 10 books of Proverbs are what the Egyptians used to teach to their royal parliament, how to conduct their lives. And we have it as Christians. We have the wisdom of Solomon that God gave him that helps us learn how to be good citizens in the kingdom now and in the kingdom that's coming. Psalms 51:10, create in me, within me, a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, within me. Psalm 78:37, he says, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Well, that's just us. But that's why he made a covenant and swore by him own self, and he cannot lie and he cannot fail, that what he started in you, he will complete. It's his word. And he already spoke it. So too late. What he starts, he finishes. What he starts, he finishes. I might start and never finish, but what he starts, he will finish. Turn to Ezekiel 36. All right, verse 26. So chapter 36, verse 26. And this is the promise to us, spoken once again through the prophets. Pay attention to my prophets, he says. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, which is the spirit of Christ Jesus, who has become unto us wisdom from God. The spirit of wisdom and revelation dwells in us. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes. Now, somebody's going to say, praise the Lord. I will cause you. It's his work. But our job is to yield to it. And be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Amen. Now, as we know, God works in the heart. God creates a new heart in us and renews us. And now we will find out that when we begin to walk with this new heart, with this new perspective, God will begin to test our hearts.
Yes, amen.
Welcome, brothers and sisters. Welcome. Psalm 17, verse 3. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Man, do I want to go on a rabbit trail, but I'm going to be a good boy. I'm just going to tell you, a lot of times the dreams we have aren't just because of the food we ate. But God, like Jesus, came to the temple and saw the money changers, and I've said this at the Citadel ad nauseum, but he comes to our heart, which is the temple, and sees what's built in it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years, he's talking to the Israelites, in the wilderness. Why did he lead them for 40 years? To humble them. And to prove them. To test them. 42 places found in Numbers 33. Go count them. Do a word study on all 42. Unbelievable. Because this is the kingdom. And every time you bring somebody to the Lord, and I know it's the Lord's work, but you partner with him to share the gospel, and they come to a faith and a knowledge of God, you just gain territory. The kingdom just gained real estate. Because the heart of a man is the ground of the kingdom. Remember the sowing of the seed into the soil, blah, blah, blah. All the truths are in the parables. To know what was in your heart, whether thou would keep my commandments. Man, I got a revelation from the Lord. It was so good. He gonna test it. One thing to be good, another way to just do it. All right. So, the Bible mentions the heart almost 1,000 times. In essence, this is what it says. The heart is the spiritual part of us where our emotions and desires dwell. God has emotion and desires. He too can be said to have a heart. We have a heart because God does. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man after God's own heart. Now, for those of you that have studied David, even a little bit, what's some of the first things that pop in your head about David? He sounds like he's like me. Other than in the natural, I'm not anywhere near a king, but the same sinful ways that David operated in have been alive and well within my kingdom. And thank you, Lord, that God still considers David a man after his own heart. So much so that Christ Jesus himself came through his bloodline. The human heart in its natural condition is evil, treacherous, and deceitful. It's like a den of vipers. Pre-Christ. It's like somebody say something to me, out of my heart, that snake comes up and just bites somebody. We have a court inside our temple where we judge everybody. We're the judge that sits on the thing going, well, I think of this about them. We become a judge. So yes, inside of you is a courtroom. Inside of you is a temple. It's like when somebody offends you, it's almost like when we receive that offense, we create another little side room. Yes. To just keep that there. Yes. All right, I ain't gonna forget that. And then we praise in the Lord, and we get in solitude with a big smile on our face, and the Lord says, yeah, I want to go into this room. I mean, we being real. But what's amazing is that Jesus said to the disciples, the adversary's time has come, but he has no place in me. The only one that ever walked on this soil could say, the snake in this garden has no nest in me. No place in me. That's amazing. That's amazing. We may not understand our hearts, but God does. He knows the secrets of the heart. Psalms 44:21. Jesus knew all men and had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Based on his knowledge of a man's heart, God can judge righteously. I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. Jeremiah 17:10. Because we're also a field where the fruit of the Spirit is growing. So when the Lord strolls by the McSwain field, he wants to take a nice little piece of fruit and enjoy the work of his hands. But like when he walked up to that fig tree and he pulled the leaves back thinking he was going to see some figs up in there, there was nothing there. Symbolic of the next day when he went to the temple and he pulled the veil back and there was no good fruit there. Always read the story that might seemingly not make sense, and then by the Spirit it's usually in the next chapter. The real meaning of that analogy. Just a little tidbit. Don't know it all, just see patterns. You just see patterns. So, from within, out of men's hearts come evil thoughts. So, my heart produces evil thoughts. Now, not every thought is mine. And that's why we have to bring every thought captive, like an air traffic controller I used to teach. That's not my thought, but it's circling because it's trying to land on my tarmac, but I'm an air traffic controller, and I'm making sure that they don't land. Tower 5-7 looking to land on East-West 17. No. So you learn after years, and it will wear you out when you first start. I had like New York Central Station in my head. Four or five different personalities that are just back in a different part of my brain that had taken the abuse of my younger days. Because when your primary presenter, the true you, is driving the car, and then there's a traumatic experience that happens, if it's too much, you fade into the back seat, and then another person, another part of your brain, comes forward, ask any counselor about trauma, it comes forward to take the brunt of that abuse so that the real me doesn't know about it. Unless I have co-consciousness. And it's God's mercy that does that. He allows you to have multiple personalities through trauma because it protects the you. And then he can bring those fragments back to wholeness. Remember the Gadarenes? One account says there was two guys thrashing and pulling chains and nobody could stop them. And then there's one account that said there was one. But either way, he had a legion of demons in him and personalities. And he came running to Jesus. He come running to him. And Jesus wasn't like, uh-oh. Jesus walked toward him. That's why he actually got in the boat and went over there. He goes, yeah, I got to go work on something. And he goes over there, and you know the story. Jesus says, come out of him. He didn't. Immediately. So don't be discouraged when in your secret time, you're worshiping and you acknowledge there's something working in my heart, maybe an offense or a lust or a manipulation, that it don't just fly out as soon as you give the command. But that thing negotiated with Jesus. Okay, we going. I mean, we got to. But send us to the pigs because we trying to get to the water. Because there's a reason why we got to get to the water. But that's for another time. They don't like dry places. Water spirits. Anyhow, our biggest problem is not external. Politics, bills, difficulties in family. That's not our biggest problem. We have an internal heart problem. And just like if you're an athlete and you want to be a winner, and if you have a bad heart, that's going to be difficult. So if you take care of the heart, it takes care of everything else. So go inside. Remember the Pharisees? They were so good at washing their hands and cleaning their dishes and doing everything just so-so. While they're looking perfect, they're judging everybody. And Jesus said, you clean the outside of the cup really good. Like, really good. But because I'm God and I see the heart of man, I'm kind of seeing a whole bunch of dead men's bones, corruption and rottenness in you. Just come before him and say, you already know. You already know. Just like that. And relax. He died for you because he knows what's in there. We're in good hands. And it ain't Allstate. It's all God. All right. In order for a person to be saved, then, the heart must be changed. This only happens by the power of God in response to faith. It is by grace through faith that you receive the promises, that you receive the new heart, the new spirit, the new kingdom. This only happens by the power of God in response to faith. What the heart, with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, Romans 10:10, in his grace, God can create a new heart within us, Psalms 51. He promises to revive the heart of the contrite ones, Isaiah 57:15. God's work of creating a new heart within involves testing our hearts, like we talked about, Psalm 17:3. Deuteronomy 8:2, and filling our hearts, this is the good part, and filling our hearts with new ideas, new ways of thinking, new ways of operating, no longer yelling at my kids, but I'm speaking life now. And I'm beginning to notice when people speak life, and I'd rather have life than death spoken over me and my kids and my family. And this, you can't stop it, but I can stop it. Because now I've been set free, and the power that works within me can help me navigate things that I've never navigated before. We're going to make it. Not because we going to make it, because he already made it. And he's just beckoning us to come. Follow me. Nehemiah 7, verse 5 says, "And my God put into my heart to gather the nobles." Nehemiah got a revelation by the Spirit of a new idea. Oh, anybody ever been reading the scripture or in prayer and you're just quiet? And I'm not saying empty yourself. I'm saying we're to meditate on the scripture, to focus on Christ. This isn't about Christ consciousness. It's Christ in me. It ain't a Christ consciousness. I know all about the yoga. I used to do it. Yeah, those are gates. Those are energy centers. And I lift up my head, O ye gates, and let the King of Glory come in, not Kundalini come up. Those are the gates that the enemy's warring for. And when you do yoga, I'm not saying about stretches and all that. I mean, it's good to stretch. I'm 55. If I don't stretch, you can ask Lonnie. She already caught, he sees probably what's going on with me already. Stretching is good, but when you begin to call frequencies into those gates, because all spirits are frequencies, and when you draw a shape, they equal a value, and that frequency of that value, whatever spirits made in that value, in that sigil, it comes. Because when you call, it comes. Those who draw near to me and seek me, I will draw near to them. The heart is the core of our being, and the Bible sets high importance on keeping our hearts pure. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. First, this is the last scripture, 1 Kings 10, verse 24. All the earth sought Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God put into his mind. So sit before the Lord in silence. I'm not saying meditate on your navel, none of that. I'm saying sit before the Lord, and I imagine myself seated at his table as a royal ambassador, not because of anything I've done. And I just say, Lord, I come to your table. I need help here. I need to love my wife better. I need to be better at work. I need to do this. I have a really difficult situation, and I need wisdom, because I see how the enemy's trapped me and he's setting me up to just absolutely get me. And you, Lord, can outsmart him. Yes. Like it said, if Satan knew what the Lord did by being crucified, it says he would have never crucified him. Yes. But the Lord pulled a Jehovah Sneaky on him and absolutely ended it. Yeah, I've come that you may have life. Well, I'm going to kill you. Yeah, and I can't die. I mean, I can die, but I am life. Like Robert said, I can resurrect. Death has no hold on me. I am the one that has the power of an indestructible life. So please, as a man, I want to die for all my brothers and sisters, because that's the plan. And then I'm going to rise again. And then all who profess faith in me get a new mind, a new heart, a new kingdom, and some of us get a new language. All right. Let's stand up real quick. I'm going to pray, and I'll hand it over to Vic. Thank you. It's 12 noon. I'm trying to be a good boy here. So, how many believe, not what I'm saying, but what you're hearing? Amen. Every one of us are farmers. Every one of us are builders. Every one of us have a work to do. Partnership. The Holy Spirit's our helper, not the doer. He's the helper. Grab the helper's hand and say, teach me, guide me, lead me, help me. I got 327 mountains that I can see that are bigger than me, and I can't overcome that. But I know with you, all things are possible. Amen. Let's pray this. So I just want everybody, no new age weird stuff here, just to simply, as a temple, open your gates. Psalms 24:7. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and let the King of glory come into your gates. Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 11, verse 2, it talks about the seven spirits of God. One spirit, seven expressions. The spirit of the fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom. The spirit of counsel and wisdom. When the fear of the Lord comes in your root chakra, for those that know all that stuff, the Lord begins to take over each gate. And you begin to have the seven expressions of the Spirit of God operating within you. And then you have a crown because He's ruling and reigning within you. Old Southern gospel song, I'm gonna wear a robe and crown. He changed my body, He touched my mind. He saved me, it was just in time. I'm gonna praise His name. All right, all right. You better bet when I was delivered from devils, they were singing that song. I think I ran a hole in the carpet around the whole place. Set free. Set free. Set free. Set free. All right. Lord, we come before you. It's exciting and grateful. Don't care nothing about what's going on. I do, but I don't. So, Lord, you know our heart. We open our heart unto you right now. Just open my heart up to you. You alone. No other spirit but the Holy Spirit of God, sent from the Father in Jesus' name. The only name. You said the kingdom dwells within me. So I ask that you create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me and cause me to be steadfast in your covenant. Let's work together to dress and keep our heart. For I am your temple, and I desire for you to fill my temple with your presence, that the kingdom of God, like yeast in dough, may overtake all that's within me, to will and to act according to your good pleasure. That which you have started, you will complete. We bless your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our message. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, please visit whitefieldsalaska.com. Thank you.